Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. How about that post?
It was good. We don't have time for it. We don't, because the last time we got into who's better, Donald or Ronald.
Yeah, that's probably not the best.
We ended up with some clown serving burgers.
All right, time to recap the Jazz season as we try to wrap our brains around what happened last week. Jazz are watching now the Phoenix Suns go up 2-0 against the Los Angeles Clippers. Ben Anderson of KSL Sports, kind enough to join us. One of the best out there breaking down the NBA. Ben, how are you?
Hello, Ben.
Good. How are you guys?
Good. So the question here is the Jazz, I'm sure the front office has to ask themselves, if we're healthy, are we better than the Clippers, and we should we try to run it back and maybe find a way to make Conley work, swallow the salary cap issues that may come with that, or is it time to be a little bit more aggressive in how we build this roster? Where do you stand on that?
I think you have to rely on the successes you did have, which is you just had arguably the best regular season the team has ever had. I know it wasn't the best winning percentage, but you kind of got to read the room and say, how's everyone else doing? And you outperformed everybody else during the regular season. And I get it was a weird year, but you were still legitimately very good on both sides of the ball, top five on offense, top five on defense. So I think there's something real there. I think there's a lot of value there, and you have to understand what those strengths were and why they worked. And I think abandoning that would be silly. At the same point, you can't look at what happened in the postseason and say, yeah, but everything's fine, so let's just run it back. I do think there have to be minor tweaks, but I don't think it's a major overhaul the way I think some Jazz fans wanted with the taste that was left in their mouth with that early exit.
If Mike Conley was healthy throughout, would they be playing the Suns right now?
Yes. Yeah, you probably wouldn't even need Donovan Mitchell at full health. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was absolutely incredible playing on half an ankle that he was, or the one and a half ankles he was playing on. If you had Mike Conley without that hamstring injury, yeah, the Jazz would still be playing. And, you know, I mean, they might be up 2-0 at this point because they would have had two home games. And I think the way the Suns are playing is impressive. But obviously without Chris Paul, they're very beatable.
Who do you who's your clubhouse favorite right now for an NBA title? Is it Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's been pretty resilient, and I think that's very impressive. But so have the Suns. I mean, the Suns are legitimately extremely good. DeAndre Ayton has proven he can be a big guy that can do enough things as a defensive player and then also as a threat if you tip passing the ball down low to go and get a basket. We know how good Devin Booker can be. He wasn't great last night. We know when Chris Paul is on the floor, he's one of the best in the business and one of the best point guards we've ever seen. And then they just have a ton of length on the perimeter, and that's just a really good perimeter. That's just a really good formula, I should say. The one thing I don't know is if they have a guy who's as dominant every single night the way Giannis is. And that's what was so impressive about the Nets series, where even as good as Kevin Durant was and all the storylines there, I mean, Giannis went in a game seven, went on the road and put whatever was 40 points and 17 rebounds. I mean, he was just absolutely incredible. He's almost like Shaq. I mean, just the production he puts up, even if it's not gorgeous, even if it's not hitting beautiful jump shots, it's just so hard to stop that he's going to score 40% of the points. He's going to grab 20% of the rebounds every single night, and he's just an absolute beast on the defensive end. So he's probably the best player remaining. I guess we'll have to see if Kawhi Leonard comes back for the Clippers.
You know, we talk a lot about some of the young up-and-coming stars in the NBA. Is DeAndre Ayton getting close to being in that conversation?
Yeah, he's going to be up into that conversation. I don't think he's going to reach, and I could be wrong here, I don't think he reaches the Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert conversation, but I don't think he's all that far from the Karl Anthony Towns grouping, that kind of next level of centers that belongs, that I think has been absolutely fabulous, and you've seen the way they've changed some of the dynamics in the NBA. Bam Adebayo belongs in that group. So I think he's one of those guys who's always going to be nipping at the heels of a player like Rudy Gobert for all NBA third team or Jokic or Embiid, depending on, you know, kind of how those three shake out every year. I don't know if he quite makes it up into that guaranteed all-star, all-NBA tier every season. But, you know, he puts up a lot of points. He grabs a lot of rebounds. I saw what you said, Scotty, and I think I totally agree. He's kind of finally becoming the guy that Arizona thought they were paying for when he committed. He's turned into a very productive player, and he impacts the game. I mean, look at what he did last night. There's not a lot of guys in the world who can do that.
Should Jazz fans expect Mike Conley back next year? If you need to assign a percentage to it, assign a percentage. But I want you to kind of help Jazz fans set their expectations on Mike Conley returning.
I think here's how I would look at it. First of all, I don't think anyone's actually going to go crazy throwing money at Mike Conley. Like, he's not going to get a $30 million contract. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised because Gordon Hayward went out and got that enormous deal from the Charlotte Hornets, and it's actually been a very good deal. But Gordon Hayward, I know he's coming off injury. He's still young. He's still in his prime. That was a team that was desperate to get a guy who could be their identity for the next 4 years, and then they just happened to draft LaMelo, and that ended up working out so well. But you look at a 33-year-old guard who will be 34 by the time next season starts. He's had two hamstring injuries in the last 2 years. He's never been a guy that's been consistently playing 75 or more games. He's not very big. He took a while to adapt to Utah, so you may have to swallow a year of him trying to figure out what his new system is. And this isn't any, you know, knock on Mike Conley. He's incredible, but this is how other teams might talk themselves out of spending $20 million on him or giving him 3 years and $60 million. And that gets really steep because then he's 35, 36, 37 by the time this contract ends. So those teams that are close that might have a little bit of money, the Clippers could throw the mid-level exception at him. The Lakers could throw the mid-level exception at him. I just don't know who else really feels like, hey, we're that close. We're going to go out and get a guard who's that age and throw all this money at him. So in that sense, the Jazz ought to be willing to spend that type of money to match. Then the Conleys probably need to look at it as, hey, we've got this young family. Do we want to move again? Are we actually getting closer to a championship with any of these other teams than what the Jazz have to offer? Because, you know, if you were healthy, you might have a real shot at it this season. And then the fact that the Jazz have to realize if you lose Mike Conley and that asset's gone, the nice thing about being able to have a guy's bird rights isn't just that you can re-sign him over your salary cap. It's that you get an asset that nobody else, that you can't replace otherwise. Yeah. If you let him walk, you don't get to go into that salary cap or that luxury tax again to sign somebody else. That money's gone. That asset's gone. So smart teams, think of Oklahoma City when they acquired Paul George, even though they really couldn't afford it. Think of the Golden State Warriors getting D'Angelo Russell in exchange for Kevin Durant and then swinging him for Andrew Wiggins and then turning Andrew Wiggins into a better player than he has been, plus two first-round draft picks. If you do that and you acquire these assets, even when it doesn't look like you have the ability to afford it, you end up better down the line, even if you have to pay a big upfront cost. So I think paying this upfront cost for Mike Conley, even if it's just as an asset to trade down the road because you couldn't replace it otherwise, or if you sign and trade Mike Conley, and I'll just throw a name out there, not that this was anything that would happen, but like for a guy like Ben Simmons, with the intention that you're going to flip him down the line for two future first-round draft picks to somebody who wants a guy like that, those end up being really smart moves, even if it's hard to swallow up first, up front. So I do think there's more reasons to bring Mike Conley back than not bring him back, both on the floor and then kind of down the road as far as your asset bank, and which is somewhat depleted from acquiring him in the first place.
I know everything's on the table with the Jazz front office, and so while he may be one of the more popular players in recent Jazz history, but Joe Ingles is coming into the final year of a contract. It's a decent contract at $12 million, where it might move the meter for a team that's trying to work some salary cap magic as well. Is that a tradable contract for the Jazz?
Yeah, the Jazz actually have three pretty tradable contracts that I think are really probably somewhat appetizing for the right team in the right situation. And I do think that gives them a little bit more leeway, depending on, you know, what they kind of want to go out and acquire. You know, do you want to get longer defensively? Can you find a way to get a guy like Jeremy Grant out of Detroit, you know, who's making $20 million a year, but you've got a Bojan Bogdanovic, or you've got a Jordan Clarkson, or you've got a Joe Ingles who makes, you know, anywhere between $10 to $20 million in those three deals. And those are good. Jordan Clarkson's deal is long. Bogey has 2 years left on his deal. But Jordan Clarkson, like, he has value. You can see what he does. He's not always perfect, and we know that. But he's coming off the best season of his career, and he just won the Sixth Man of the Year award. Yeah, Joe Ingles is going to help you win. Now, if Mike Conley leaves, he's your starting point guard, so the Jazz don't want to trade him before they know what's going on with Mike. But, yeah, that's a pick or a trade that should have some value, who, you know, when he's not starting in the playoffs, he hasn't been great this year. When he does start, he's absolutely terrific, and you've got to weigh kind of what that value is for the Jazz. So I think they actually have some pieces. If they wanted to get aggressive and said, hey, we have an identity crisis by not being able to play small, we could pair some of these pieces or even team it with a guy like Derek Favors to add another $10 million and take back a $30 million deal that somebody doesn't want to pay to complete their, you know, that person's contract, which is, you know, a guy who's made $30 million at one point in his career generally moves the needle, even if they're not what they once were. So it's not like the Jazz have no options or no assets and just are eventually going to have to let this thing fall apart before they fix it. They could get aggressive if they wanted to. But again, you were really good last year. I'm not sure if major changes are probably the best option for this team.
Ben, considering Terrence Mann doesn't go off for 7 of 11 and 3 and 39 points and blow things up, how many games does it take Phoenix to dispatch of the Clippers?
There's rumors that Chris Paul is going to come back for Game 3 and will be out of protocol, and if that's the case, I know that these games have been really close. It also scares me a little bit they've been so close, and then the Clippers really haven't found a way to break through, and they've fallen apart a couple of times, and then you add Chris Paul back into the mix. I think that makes it hard. I still bet this goes 6. I still think Ty Lue's a really good coach. I think we've learned that in the last two series, his ability to make adjustments and willingness to find whatever little advantage they can that works could even this out. Obviously, the Clippers are a much stronger team than I expected them to be. I thought that they would really struggle or fall apart mentally down 2 games against the Mavericks and down 3-2 against the Mavericks, and they never did. And then they found a way to beat the Jazz 4 times this season, which nobody did this year. So they're a much stronger team mentally. Paul George, despite missing his 2 free throws last night, has been really good, and they've got enough role players. So I'll still say it probably takes 6, and it could easily go to 7. We've got to see what happens with Kawhi Leonard, but the Suns have to feel really good about where they are, especially knowing they haven't been playing with their best player.
Ben Anderson, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone from KSL Sports. You wrote a piece on KSLSports.com that the draft lottery was somewhat helpful for the Utah Jazz. Explain what your thought process there.
Yeah, I didn't even realize this. And, I really like the draft. I really get into it because generally it's kind of the only thing to do in the offseason outside of summer league, and those two things are even tied together. But each of the last 3 years, the top 2 picks have gone to the Western Conference. And look at what DeAndre Ayton did last night, and look at what Luka Doncic does, and, look at what some of these top picks have done. I mean, Anthony Edwards beat the Jazz twice this year. I mean, I think Anthony Edwards was the big reason the Jazz lost 2 games to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So having that type of talent come west and sit in the West, it just makes these, not bad teams, but okay teams really good, especially over time. And they're just more difficult to beat on any given night. So you had 4 of the top 5 draft picks last night are going to go to the Eastern Conference, including the number 1 overall pick, who's, I mean, there's a lot of talk that there's any number of 5 guys that could go with the top, 1 pick. I still think it's just going to be Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. He's insane and is going to be a superstar on the NBA. Yeah, send him to Detroit. Give Cleveland a player. Give Orlando a player. Give Chicago a player. I mean, I can't even remember everyone who jumped into the top 5 now. It's just nice that it's not Houston, Minnesota. Golden State certainly didn't need another top 5 pick. I know James Wiseman hasn't worked out like they wanted to, but they didn't need to go out and get a guy like Jalen Suggs or any of these great kids that are coming out this year. So I think that was really helpful. The more young talent that's going to be in that conference for probably, you look at the league now, it's 7-8 years at minimum, and those guys are developing into their prime at that point, and they're all pretty good young. Yeah, send those guys to the Eastern Conference. I know Houston ended up getting the number 2 overall pick, and they'll get a good player. But they've got a ways to go, I think, before they can fix what their issues are. So I don't think that's a major loss. So I think that was good. I think to see 4 of the top 5 picks go to the Eastern Conference ended up being really beneficial for the Jazz.
Will Ben Simmons be wearing a Philly logo? And if not, where will he be?
There's a lot of teams. I'm going to find myself rooting for Ben Simmons, and I've not ever been somebody who's really rooted for Ben Simmons. I kind of liked him out of LSU. Just because I like that he didn't care about the college game at all, because we knew it was such a fraud when he was going to LSU and he'd been paid to be there and all the nonsense that was involved in that. And then he just turned into such a heel in Philadelphia, which good for him. He's willing to embrace that. But now he's faced all this adversity. So I think I'm going to like rooting for him wherever he goes next. And he'll be good wherever he goes next, assuming he doesn't go to a team that needs him to be a superstar playmaker and scorer. And now that maybe we've lost that identity for him or shaved that off of what we expect for him after being the number 1 overall pick, he might get a lot easier to like and might become a better player. So the Bulls could really use him. I saw an idea for a trade for Zach LaVine that would make a lot of sense for both teams, I think. Obviously, Portland seems to be the front runner, though Philadelphia 76ers fans, you think they're going to get Dame, who's a top 8 player, or Ben Simmons, who's a top 40 player, is crazy. You can get CJ McCollum. And that's probably actually a pretty good upgrade. You saw how good Seth Curry was, and CJ McCollum is just a better version of Seth Curry. So I think a trade like that would make sense if you could get a draft pick in it. So I would imagine Ben Simmons is gone. I don't think you can keep him in Philly. I think the fans hate him. I think he's probably been burned by too many people in the organization, including Doc Rivers in one of the weirdest post-game quotes I've ever heard. Joel Embiid wasn't super flattering, though that quote was taken a little bit out of context that everybody saw. So I think you got to move him. I think he still has some value, and I think you got to do it just to satisfy kind of the fan base and say, hey, we know we've been eliminated in the second round or earlier so many years in a row. but we're trying something different, even if it's just to say, hey, we've shaken up the status quo. You might not get a better player back. That's the difficulty of trading a guy who's flawed but really good like Ben Simmons.
Great stuff as always, Ben, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catching up with you again throughout the summer.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
It's Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Hands, it is a Wednesday, which means we're in a given mood right now.
This is your chance to win tickets.
Win.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now at 855-340-ZONE.
Woo!
And you'll win tickets right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And you will win a ticket, some tickets to go see the Bees in action. They start a six-game homestand against the Las Vegas Aviators. Come out and support the Bees. It's better at the ballpark. Tickets on sale right now. So, again, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. In about an hour from right now, we will announce another selection in our top 60 in 60. Today, I believe it is number, 51 today.
You're correct.
And I'm excited. This is a guy that I think you'll enjoy breaking down and talking a little bit about.
He is a veteran.
Yes.
He is large.
Yes.
And he is going to play a huge role next year. Huge role.
Yes.
Next year.
That's your guess. Guesses.
But 51.
Are those your hints?
51 feels pretty good to me.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's about spot on.
Yep.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, live here at RGS Exteriors, where you get a chance to look, if it's on the outside of your home, these guys can make it happen for you. And I love these dudes that come in and obviously are able to help out. There's a lot of people that have been sticking around in their homes a little bit more than they would have liked over the last year and a half or so. And they realize, okay, we got to fix this. We got to make this look better. Kurt's with us once again. How are you?
Hey, Kurt. Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Sky's the limit on what you can do. This is impressive. You're showing some of the things you've got going on here.
All right. We've talked about this a lot, so I wanted to show you guys specifically. This is kind of the progress or the stage of how we do the step process of the when we do the design work. So basically we take your initial. This is the design consultation where we talk about basically the colors and what we want to do in the front. And this is our building, and we actually changed the entire structure of the front.
Yeah.
So we can illustrate that.
Kurt's just kind of walking us through the different pictures and stages. It's the initial picture of pre-reconstruction. It is the kind of projection of what it's supposed to look like and then the finished product.
Right.
And then a picture in kind of in the middle of the build. So this is kind of a typical form that you would go through as a customer.
Look, some of the projects that we take on could be a complete remodel and restructuring the entire front of your home. It's a big deal. And without even being able to see the pictures of the colors, what your home's going to look like, it's hard to make decisions. This process is really to help customers put, Greg mentioned it, like you've got Pinterest ideas. Like, let me take a couple of those ideas, throw it on that house, and then you can start, I hate that. I don't like that at all. So this is a way for us to step and walk you through a design process so that you actually can see what your home looks like and go, you know what? I like that. And that decision-making process can be really overwhelming when you're looking at spending tens of thousands of dollars to do a big remodel project.
You know, one thing that we've talked about with Tim a lot is the fact that there's a lot of noise out there in terms of, well, this cost is increasing or this cost is skyrocketing. I'm going to try to wait and see if things come back down to earth. Probably not going to happen. Like, there's no time like the present. And people are sitting on a lot of equity in their homes right now, too.
Right. Right. So my wife does real estate, and that's a constant conversation that she has with people as well. Should I sell my house right now?
Yeah.
That way I can kind of buy high and then hope that the market will come back down. We don't know that that's a trend that's ever going to happen in Utah. There is no bubble, financial bubble like we experienced previously. There's such an influx of people here that a lot of people want to just stay where they're at. They love their location of their home, but they want to do something substantial because they're on social media. They see the new homes. And you can take a home that it surprisingly looks quite old and change it and flip it into something that looks very modern, that looks very new. And we can help you through the each stage of that. Some people want to do it, you know, progressively. But we can take you from the beginning all the way to the very end and help you feel pretty good about what the end product's going to be. And so we do this as a helpmate for people so that they can spend their money wisely and feel good about doing that.
RGS Exteriors, give them a call right now, and let's get you just get some information. Have some people come by your house and see what they can do. You've got some ideas. You want to improve your home. And, you know, like my situation, I've got a home that probably is in need of something like this, but I don't want to leave my neighborhood. I don't want to move. Right. I like where I'm at. I like my neighbors. I like my neighborhood. So why not take some of that money, invest it in your home, and make it look the way you want it to look?
Yep.
801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Call right now. Get on the books. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Rises and fires for three.
The playoffs may be over for the Utah Jazz.
You're outstanding.
But the season never ends on the Zone Sports Network. From the NBA draft to free agency and on to the summer league, the Zone will be with the Jazz every step of the way as the Jazz front office builds for the future. Your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all having a tremendous Wednesday. Week's almost halfway over. As we continue getting you ready for, man, you know, it's funny. It's you get in the routine of like, all right, well, you got this Jazz game coming up, and it's just kind of like,
eh. It's the worst when it's over. But at least we get Eastern Conference Game 1 tonight.
Hey, look, normally we would have this would have been, you know, early May that this would have happened. Now we're nearly end of June. NBA Finals are going to wrap up here in about 2 or 3 weeks, and then and before you know it, September is going to roll around and it'll be training camp and getting ready for the next season. So, but I mean, we're only what 5-6 weeks away from fall camp starting in college football.
Do you think people are ever going to get over what happened?
Yeah, I think so. It's going to take some time.
I don't think they will. Like, I think that this is going to be a Jordan pushed off moment.
You think the pain's going to stick around for a little bit, huh?
I do. I think this is going to be one of those seasons that we all look back on. And
it's going to be a big what if, for sure.
Don't know if it's ever going to be the same.
Oh, you know what you can do to make yourself feel better, which you've just done, is post pictures of your dogs.
I know. This always helps me. I'm actually, this is where I'm at right now. I just, you start thinking about it like, man, we really should be watching the Jazz. We'd actually just be past game one. Because you would have to go through the game seven.
If game seven would have been on Sunday, so last night would have been game one.
Yeah, that's why I don't count that the Jazz would have played two games against the Suns without Chris Paul. It might have been different because the timing.
Sounds like Chris Paul's going to be back for game three.
Yeah, things would have been a little bit different with having to play game seven. But I've got to stop my mind from thinking that. Clark just tweeted in. He said, this will never go away.
Serious, Clark?
Oh, come on, Clark. It's going to be all right. Just give it some time. It's going to be okay.
I'm not feeling good. So anyways, what I'm doing.
I mean, there was one year where the Raiders lost a tough playoff game to Tom Brady, but then they rebounded the next year.
Yeah.
And then got blown out in the Super Bowl.
Right. It happens.
Oh, never mind. He probably isn't over. Yeah, you're probably not going to get over that.
Nobody's getting over this, man. So what I'm doing, and Scotty, I appreciate your willingness to do this, and I appreciate the willingness of the station. I think everybody knows how much pets mean to me. Dogs have saved my life over the years. Got my first dog when my parents told me that they were holding me back again in second grade. And my heart was broken because, you know, all my friends were moving forward in grades and I'm sitting back. And so my parents got me my first dog when they told me that they're holding me back again. And that dog saved my life. It saved my life.
Which dog was that?
That was Gizmo.
I thought Gizmo was a cat.
No. No, the cat is the name of which we can't.
Well, no, I know, but you had several cats.
Several
cats. Yeah, and I thought
Gizmo. But only one that he really liked.
Jet Speed and Duffy.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Cuddles was my favorite cat all the time, Lloyd, if you must
know. No. Really?
So what was Gizmo?
Lhasa Apso.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a little Lhasa Apso.
I'm going to have to Google that. I'm not sure what that
is. The lion-hearted. The Lhasa Apso looks a little bit like Gracie.
Okay, it's a little teacup dog.
Little teacup dog. A little bit bigger than Gracie. So I just tweeted out, in support of our day of adoption that we have coming up, which for $12.80, you're going to be able to adopt any dog, any cat, for $12.80. It's $140, $200 on some occasions.
Really?
Yeah. This is a huge savings.
Wait, we're saving that much money?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I apologize. I had no idea what your normal adoption costs were.
Oh, no. Johnny and I did the whole walkthrough of the Humane Society. And first of all, people need to come in and see it because of how clean it is. It's immaculate. Beautiful facilities. And then you also need to see these sweet dogs and cats that are just hanging in these different enclosures. I'm not even going to call them kennels or cages because they're just really nice areas for these dogs and cats to hang. They're probably pretty happy, but they want the love of you know, their human family.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting there waiting, like, hey, take me home. And Johnny and I, there were a couple. I think Johnny fell in love with a couple of different animals in there. And I've got my two at home, so I can't bring any more home, even though I want to.
Oh, that's going to happen. You know, my wife is bringing in our boys to that.
The day of adoption. Good. So June 30th at the Humane Society, we will be there for 4 hours, and we are saving you that much on adoption.
One week from today, folks.
Yeah, because I want people to understand. They will be spayed and neutered. They will be up to date on all their shots. Some of them will be house trained. All of them are loving. All of them have kind of a special characteristic. And they're all up for adoption. And by the way, Scotty, they're bringing dogs and cats from other areas just for our day of adoption.
Oh, that's great.
So there's going to be a great selection. And we are going to send cats and dogs home with people to enjoy. And so to kind of get that thing started, I just sent a tweet and said, share your last pet photo that you took.
Oh, man.
I want people to share their pet photos. I shared a pet photo. Post the last picture you took of your pet. And I said, let's brighten up everyone's day. Forget about the Jazz for a day. How does that sound? Talk about sweet pets that save our lives. Man, dogs are the best companion. Just incredible friends.
All right, time for Sports Roulette. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
The greatest Denver Broncos QB to ever roll the earth.
Oh, you're so proud of yourself.
Roll.
I'm not touching this. So Lloyd, you can have fun with this. I'm not messing around with this.
Roll.
Why not, Scotty? What's going on? What happened?
I haven't even seen the video yet.
You haven't?
You were sitting there with hands watching it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I thought you did watch it.
I watched it.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Roll.
So what? Does anybody know the background on this? Like, what's going on? Like, was this a team activity, or what's the story here?
Well, the story is it's a bunch of people in a skating rink. Some guys have lightsabers. Drew Locke is on.
You know, it's not lightsabers. It's like a what do you have at the pool? Like that you
foam noodle?
Yeah, one of those things. Water noodle things.
Are those? Those aren't lightsabers. It looked like It looked like a Star Wars cosplay.
Oh, jeez.
Like they were LARPing.
Probably LARPing. Is that what you call that?
Yeah, that's.
And Drew Locke is so good.
It looks like
Dude
Drew Locke
has moves.
Is doing Star Wars LARPing.
That's my quarterback.
I'm telling you, if he can't beat out Teddy Bridgewater, like at least he's got something to fall back on because he is good.
He's athletic.
He is.
he's roller skating. People are swinging foam noodles at him, and he's avoiding them on roller skates. And he's using specified footwork and skate work to avoid those noodles.
He is that guy that cruises around and is dancing during when music's going, and you're like, wow, how does he move so smoothly? Like, it's amazing.
The guy that's on that rink. Every time you go to the rink, you're like, there's that guy. He is 48, and he wants to display everything he's learned in the world of skate right here on this kid's rink.
Yeah. Show all the kids, if you work hard at it, you too can be like this guy.
There's that guy on the skating rink, and there's always that guy on the diving board. Like, all right, that was a nice gainer, sir. No splash. Now my kids are up there trying to do a double somersault.
Oh, man.
But Drew Locke is putting himself at great risk in whatever activity that is that's now on video. You know he didn't want that to get out, right?
No, you can't. No, that's not going to go over well.
That's not something you share with your friends. You're like, hey, you want to see this? Like, he's skating. He's not rollerblading. He's got the four-ball skate. Like, he's roller skating.
Do the hustle.
This is the greatest skate rink song.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. You got to skate around and shake your hips. I've been known to be seen on a skate or two.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to get on skates. Ice skates and roller skates. I don't rollerblade. But I don't know if I want my quarterback out.
Not want a quarterback, no.
Drew Locke needs to stay healthy to lead those Broncos to an 8-8 season.
They're not going 8-8. By the way, I just responded to your tweet with something I probably shouldn't have.
Can you not ruin my tweet?
Nah,
oh, man, what did you do?
Whoa, Scotty.
Is this Bowler's dog?
No, it's not Bowler's dog. It's a crocodile.
Oh, look at Gonzi. That's a cute little dog. Those are two dogs that are sleeping. Keep posting those dog and cat photos, those pet photos. I love them. That's going to brighten up everybody's day. Lloyd, I expect you to post a couple of pictures of those beauties that you got at home. Hey, Lloyd, will you spin it one more time and hit that top headline?
No, I don't want to.
You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
Isn't that the truth, Scott?
Amen to that.
I don't know if truer words have ever been
never
said.
Never spoken, yeah.
This is about Devin Booker's injury last night. This was a legitimate injury. This is a broken nose. It's a cracked brow. It's a pretty bad hit. He went to move across Beverly. Beverly kind of jolted forward defensively. And his nose made contact with Beverly's kind of the crown of the forehead.
Yeah.
And it broke the nose. And it caused stitches. And Devin Booker's numbers weren't fantastic last night. I think he was something like 5 of 20.
Imagine playing a high-level physical NBA game with a broken nose.
No, it'd be horrible. A couple of thoughts with this. So it was the third quarter, and he went down, and the nose is broken. It's crooked. It's cracked. He went in and got it stitched, came back in the fourth quarter, and contributed there at the back end of the fourth quarter. And you're right, man. You can't breathe through that nose.
Yeah.
All of that blood starts to coagulate up there in the nose and it starts to clot. And, a deviated septum, you can't pull air through it. It's just a horrible feeling. And I'm sure he was in complete misery. But now you wonder how much it affects his game moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll have a mask. I'll print it out for him and ready to go, but and then you worry about guys have a hard time adjusting to wearing those things.
Yeah, the mask makes it. Who was the famous guy that they just kept wearing?
Rip Hamilton was the guy that kept wearing it.
Did he just wear it
for the Pistons?
For the looks of it?
Or? He got used to it, and then I think it was a little bit of superstition, and he just kept wearing it, yeah.
Did he wear it through the championship?
Yeah, won an NBA title wearing that thing.
He was famous for it. I remember seeing him with that thing on all the time, but most guys hate it. You know, it impedes vision and it can impede breathing. And Obviously, that nose is going to be sensitive, anything that touches it. There's a bit of adrenaline that would carry you through the fourth quarter.
Yep.
When you return, you get those stitches in, and you're like, put me back on the court. Well, that night, the pain starts to set in. That next morning, the inflammation and pain is throbbing. And he's got to get back on the court tomorrow for game three.
Good luck with that. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's all right here. We'll talk more college football coming up at 1:30 when we announce number 51 in our top 60 and 60 right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Joined now by Andy Bailey, NBA analyst for Bleacher Report.
I am concerned about the size of a Conley Mitchell backcourt, but I don't know what else you do if you let Mike Conley walk. You don't have cap space suddenly if you don't re-sign him. They're already over the cap. So, you know, I don't know if it's a 2 or 3 year deal for Conley, whatever it may be, but you might have to sign him because you just can't really lose that asset. I think as far as top twos go, there really aren't many that get better than Mitchell and Gobert and still have some potential to grow. I think there are still some steps that Mitchell can take. Gobert's probably a finished product at this point. So I think they've got a great top two. And I think over the next couple of years, if they don't break through, they're going to have to start thinking about adjusting that roster a little bit.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
About that guy. That's a good call on that one.
Pretty accurate.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, Hans. A lot to break down. We'll get back to some college football talk, also the NBA coming up next hour. I tell you what, it's we're live here at RGS Exteriors, and we'll talk to them here in a bit and kind of wrap up this 12 o'clock hour. But, man, there's a plenty to break down. The college football thing is heating up. Pac-12 Media Day will be July 27th. Mountain West will be the 21st and the 22nd. BYU's already in the rearview mirror. And, you know, I think there's some opportunities to get really fired up for college football here.
Yeah, and announcing number 51 in our 60 and 60 today. A lot of great talent here in the state. I know college football, we're just kind of sitting back and waiting for this thing and excited for college football, but I've never been more excited for the NFL in my entire life. I had a blast with the NFL last year. I had such a blast. The NFL did a really good job of putting all the controversial politics and everything behind them and just moving forward with an entertaining product. When I go to watch football, just make it about good football for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Make it a good game. Make it about football. And it was fun to watch Tom Brady do what Tom Brady did. But this year, you know, you throw Zach Wilson in the mix as the starting quarterback for the Jets. You throw in Brady Christensen. You know, you've seen all the ratings for Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles came in as the 10th best offensive lineman in the NFL.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that transformation with him.
Incredible transformation. I do have a team in mind for my Super Bowl pick. When we do our NFL preseason picks.
Oh, yeah?
I've got a team in mind for my Super Bowl pick. This team would be, I believe, what would be a dark horse.
So you're not just rolling out the Chiefs?
I'm not just rolling out the Chiefs, no.
Excellent.
No. In fact, this is going to be tough for me to pick this team because they would be a very much a dark horse. And they also have the player that I hate the most in the NFL on the roster. For a little bit of a teaser.
I don't even want to say who I think that player is because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, but I think you know who it is.
Yeah. Was your son a fan?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to remember who he plays for. He's been floating around forever.
Well, yeah, he's been injured.
Yeah, yeah. Hans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. We are live here at RGS Exteriors. Kurt's with us once again as we look, there's so many opportunities here to take advantage of your home, make it look the way you want, because chances are your home's, you know, never been worth more. But if you sell your home, you got to go find a house that's never been worth more than it is right now. So invest in your own home right now. Let's get it taken. And all those things you want to change, let's get it taken care of.
Especially if you like where you live.
Exactly.
So one of my buddies, he texted me and said that this is a little little side note, that he apparently watched the movie Hostile because of something you said yesterday.
What did he think?
He said it was pretty cool. I can't remember the movie that he compared it to, but he said it had an interesting feel to it. So I told him I would let you know.
It's so good, man. It's got that Rosamund Pike in it. Did you watch it?
Oh, from Gone Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know. I've not watched it yet. I will watch it.
I watched the preview, and I have seen that. It was a long time ago. It took me a minute to realize what that was, but that's a very interesting movie.
Oh, so good, man. I'm glad that he watched it. And look, so he took my advice.
Yes, he did.
I want people to take my advice. If you're looking to redo the exterior of your home.
Well done.
This is it, man. This is the place to come. And I know that, you know, we've gotten to know each other a little bit over the years, Kurt, but I've become really close with Tim.
Yeah.
And Tim is like a brother. It's like he's the guy that I would call and I would trust. He's the guy I send friends to and family to, because I know they're going to get a very accurate bid. They're going to get a very good look at what their house will look like with new siding. And I'm a big hardy plank guy. My house is full hardy, not front hardy or side front side with back stucco. It's full hardy because I believe in that product so much. So this is where I send people.
And that's a good thing. That expression is what we hope for when we're done with the project, is that you believe in what you got, because we sell the products that we personally feel the best about, not because we had somebody come in and say, hey, I'm going to give you a great price if you sell me this stuff. For us, it's, we know our industry, we know the products that are being used, and Hardy stands on their own feet. We talked a little bit offline about what Hardy is doing to make sure that they can still take care of their customers, especially in the retail market where people are recovering their home. Yeah. They've changed what they're doing so that they can make sure that they don't get wrapped up in all these material delays and they don't have to be frustrated. And that really is the great navigation, or that's the great anxiety that people are feeling with these projects, is that they're going to get hung up somewhere and they're going to be frustrated and they're going to be irritated. And, you know, Junior is a champion of our company paradigm, which is, if we're going to do something, we want it to be done in a way that we would be happy if it happens on our own home. The way that we treat our customers, the way that we try to communicate with them and be fair with them. It doesn't matter who comes out to your house.
Yeah.
Of our entire estimator team, they all have the same protocols, the same approach to what they do. It's very consultative style. We're not pressure. It's just, let's talk about your house, what we can do to help you out, and we will educate you on anything that you feel like you need to fill in the gap so that you know you're going to get what you want and that there's value there. And there's no hesitation once you get to the end of this process. You pull the trigger, and then we will walk you through it from beginning to middle to end so that there's a sense of confidence. And then when it's done, you say, you know what? These guys did do a great job. I am super happy. Give them a call. That's how we want to run our business.
Got to imagine you probably pull through neighborhoods and you're like, okay, that was 93. Yeah. That was late 90s. You know, and so there's so many waves of changes in terms of styles, and you guys do a great job of staying up to date on that. So when somebody does come in and say, hey, I saw this on TV, or I saw this Pinterest, or whatever the case is, you can say, yeah, we can make that happen for you.
Absolutely. And I think the most prominent, I would say, philosophy or paradigm that we have is that we want to stay way ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. And we do that through education. Like Tim is away right now. He's at a conference where he's learning about the current trends in our industry. And we do that quite a bit. And that's what our guys doing in Idaho and Michigan and the East Coast and West Coast. And we have friendships with very, very good contractors, what they're seeing and how they're dealing with it. And that network has created a great dynamic for us to where we feel like we are at the top of that curve of knowing how we're supposed to be handling things.
Give them a call right now, RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. And remember, I know it's like 115 degrees outside right now, but winter will be here before you know it. If you need help with those rain gutters, now is the time to get that taken care of. We'll talk more about that coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.